Lord, I just thank you. We just come to you in the name of Jesus, and I just thank you that you, Holy Ghost, like you do, you lead us into all truth. You show us things to come. You reveal your Son, the Son Jesus. You reveal your word, revelation, knowledge being brought forth today. We just thank you, Lord, that you help me speak what you put in my heart. And I think it will be a blessing. I think that ears are ready to hear. We just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So most folks know me here, I guess. I'm Ben Williams. That's my folks over there, 51 years anniversary. Wow. That's a wonderful thing. Yes, you know, we had to celebrate with them last year for their 50th Thuma party and just blessed them. But so thankful for our folks. Thankful that our parents serve God. You know, it's a wonderful thing. You know, you don't realize it till you start having your own, how wonderful it is. So now I've got some friends here. I got my boy Luke here, but our friend Charlotte. Yes, y'all. I want y'all to greet her later. You know what? I love how Jesus said, you know, who are my mothers, my brothers, my sisters? And she's one of the kind of a mother. She's family to us. So I want y'all to greet her. You know, it says who is that? It's those that do the will of God. Yes. And she's a woman of God. So thank you for showing up, Charlotte. Let's go. We're going to jump off at Hebrews 4:16. This is our jumping off scripture. Hebrews 4:16. Everybody there? Say amen.
Yes.
All right. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's a wonderful thing. Where are we coming? To the throne of grace. And what do we sing about today? The grace, the mercy, the goodness of God. It says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I want you to look at it in the Amplified. Will you bring that up, Helen? This is good.
Yes.
Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it.
Amen.
That's awesome. So, but like many of us, this part where it says, come boldly, come confidently, draw near to that throne of grace. So many of us say, how can I?
Yeah.
How can I come boldly? It just seems like too much. How am I able to do this? How am I to be able to come fearlessly to that throne of grace? See, so many people have a bad God image. They see the Father as up there, old and ready, mad to pull the lever, you're going to hell. I mean, really, so many folks have seen God not the way He is, as the Father. And we're going to look at that in just a second. But here's me. I came back to the Lord in my senior year of high school. Really, this is a little bit of my testimony, too. October 25th, 1996. I know I'm getting old. Gray hair's showing it. But easy. Yes, sir. I'll just look over here. But, you know, when I came back to the Lord, I knew that I knew that I knew that I was forgiven. I knew it. I just knew it. But I was just like, I felt that I was so disqualified. My sin had just disqualified me, made me so unworthy that I could not do exactly this, to fearlessly, to confidently go to that throne of grace, because I still had a bad God image. I only had my own sin conscious image that I kept looking at. I kept looking at my past. I must be disqualified. I must be damaged goods. I've missed it too long. I've got too far behind. But we're going to see that He has made us worthy.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. So this exact scripture, we were in, I took a group over, some young adults and a few of us did a mission trip in Nicaragua in 2016. And what's cool in Nicaragua, in certain areas, certain barrios, one good thing that kind of the government does, you know, yeah, there's a lot of corruption, no doubt. Super rich, super poor. But these barrios that we would go in and minister and pray for people and feed people and do these wonderful things, we were going around and we were inviting people to a service that we were going to have later, you know. But what's good they do there is they give a plot of land, a small, maybe 20 by 40, a very small section. There was a barrio, no way, and it's just, you know, line streets north, you know, just three or four streets. So many, 100 acres maybe, and just small little plots of land. They will not put the property in the mail in a man's name because the men have always left and sold it. So they do give the property to the women, which is pretty cool, you know. But anyway, so we're there praying with these folks, ministering to these folks, and as I'm praying for this sweet lady, she had probably a 10 by 15 cinder block home with a metal tin roof. And she was happy as could be. And she was sweeping her dirt floor. You know? And it, but you could just see she was content. She was so happy. It was her home. She had little flowers set up on the windowsills. It was just beautiful. You just like, you know what? And so we were like, man, we want to talk to this lady. So we had an interpreter. We were talking and, you know, we asked if we could pray for her. And as I start to pray, this exact scripture starts to come up and it says, let us, that means let you, not just the priest. You know, it says, 1 Timothy 2, that there's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. I love that. The man, Christ Jesus. There's only one mediator. And why am I saying all that? While I was praying for the, I told the interpreter, I said, there's a scripture in the Bible that I want you to go read. It's Hebrews 4:16. It said that he wants you, the Father is saying, he wants you to come to him. He wants you to come and pray to him. What happens is so many of these countries, they're raised with such a religious, say, Catholic background where they have to go to the priest. That is their mediator. That is their go-between. That is the one that stands in the gap for them. And this is not what the Bible is saying. It's saying, you come boldly and confidently. So just like if you have bad religion or you have bad self-worth, that you're so unworthy, you will not do this. You will not come boldly to that throne of grace, receiving mercy, coming just when we need it.
Yes.
He wants all of us to be able to come to him.
Amen.
Boldly and confidently, like, here's your boy. I'm here. So I want just to explain that all of us from our past, from maybe some religious background, we think, how can I? Aren't I disqualified? That's how I felt when I came back to the Lord. We wonder, how can I be our righteous? How can I have right standing? You know, we're a church. We have such a wonderful heritage of spiritually mature folks here, you know. But I think if we're not careful, we'll get into the Christianese. You know, we have these words in the Bible that people are like, what are you talking about, righteousness? You know, I remember when I grew up in church, and it was because I grew up in and been around some of this stuff, it was the one that, how it drew me back. But still, when I came back to the Lord, I was like, I don't know what they mean, you know? They're saying I'm right, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm like, I don't feel like it, you know? You know, I still feel so unworthy. I know I'm forgiven. Yes, I know I'm forgiven. But how can I do these things? How can I walk in what he's called me to do? You know? And so, you know, if we're not careful, we'll get into that kind of religious arrow and say that, you know, we're just not worthy. I want us to take a little while to look at somebody else that thought he was unworthy. Let's go to Luke 15. You know, after serving God a while, I come to the realization I'm not a smart man. I knew David would get a good laugh out of that. You know, when you start realizing all that he's done for you, my goodness, you start getting overwhelmed. I know so little. You know what? I know so little. I found a scripture where, you know, in John 15:5, this is to me one of the most identifying scriptures in the Bible. He says who he is and he says who you are. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you abide in me and I in you, you will produce much fruit. But without me, you are nothing. He just says it straight as day. I'm the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you could do nothing. So more and more, I know I have to be dependent on him. I have to abide in him. You know what? So that's how I could say, you know what? I do not know it all for sure. My wife can agree with that. But one thing I find out, if I will stay in him, if I will be in him, yes. Not you and you, but it's him in you, you can do all things through Christ. Yes. You see what I'm saying? Okay, Luke 15, New Living Translation. I love this. This is so cool. I love Jesus. Verse 1. The tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. I love that. Tax collectors and notorious sinners. You know, the prostitutes, the harlots, the tax collectors, and all these people were just detested by the Pharisees, by the religious leaders, the experts. We'll read in the next verse. It says, this made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. In that day and time, if you ate with someone, you accepted them. You wanted to be with them. So it was a very, to them, the Pharisees, how dare you? He could not be a prophet. He could not be a man of God because he wants to sit with these tax collectors, these sinners. Oh, but thank God he did. Amen. That's us. So he's talking to, his response here in a second is to the Pharisees, the religious leaders. He tells three parables or stories of, you think you've got it, you think you know it all, you think you've got it all together. And, but I love it that the tax collectors and notorious sinners came to hear Jesus. And he wanted to sup with them. He wanted to commune with them because he loved them. Amen. All right. Verse 3. So Jesus told them this story. Told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it on his shoulders, the great shepherd. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Isn't that awesome? Talking about someone that will repent and turn. He goes after us when we're lost. So this whole chapter is about the lost and found, the dead and alive. You know what? I love too, it's also about a party, also about a celebration. Next part, the parable of the lost coin. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it. And when she finds it, she will call her friends and neighbors and say, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost coin." In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. So what is he talking to these religious folks? They say, you know, they're judging Jesus by eating and supping with these sinful, the notorious sinners, you know, unreputable, you know, folks. But I love this. How did John the Baptist say it? "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." The whole world. And just like that coin that it was hers. He died for the whole world. And how many times can we, Lord help me, how we can look at the sin more than the lost, yes. That lost soul. Lord, I'm speaking to myself. Lord help me where, just like they detested the tax collectors, they said they were even cursed by God because they would take the money from God's people and give it to the Romans. So these people were of that day were the most detested. Wasn't that awesome, though, that Jesus chose tax collectors? He chose fishermen, just like me, you know, liars and everything else. But he chose them. Lord, help us to be able to look past the sin, the darkness, and see that lost soul.
Yes.
She valued that coin, and so does God, because he hold the Lamb God who takes away the sin of the whole world. So can we get out of the religious blinders into even folks that we see that we may even detest, even the lifestyles that they may do, and say, they're simply lost. Hey, it wasn't long ago we were in the same.
That's right.
Not long ago I was in the same boat, in darkness, blind leading the blind, going right into the ditch, you know. But some people, my parents, others, they pray for me even when I was in darkness, even when I was lost, even when I was following the blind. He cared for me.
Yes.
He wasn't going to let me go. I was his very own. Amen. So, now here we go. Meat and taters. Verse 11. We're going to jump over to the New King James because there's some certain words that say exactly what the Lord just put on my heart. The parable of the lost son. Then he said, "A certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me. My name is Jimmy.'" That's not his name, but you know. "Give me all you can give me." It's interesting here. You'll see it. He's a "give me, son." And then later on, he's a "make me, son."
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. But right here, he said, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So he divided to them his livelihood. And you think, man, how could God do this? But doesn't he do that with us? He gives us the free will, the free choice to serve him, to love him, to obey him, to do his will. So, the Father's awesome. And so he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Let me look at my notes. Here he goes. Now let me just read it. Wasted his possessions. Wasted something so sacred to the Father. Should have been sacred to him. His birthright. And he wasted it on prodigal living. Riotous living. Just going bonkers and partying, you know. Spending it all. Having all your friends. And where did they go? The next day kind of thing. But when he had spent all, there rose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. For a Jewish boy, this was, oh, you wouldn't even tell nobody you're doing something like that. You know, it was just a disgrace, ashamed to say, I'm going from son now to slave. And when you leave the father and you go do your own thing, and the world's got a box. It's got a pig pen for you to put you in and wants you to stay there the rest of your life. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent them into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods or the food that the swines ate, and no one gave him anything. He went from a son to a slave. Yeah, like the rest, the world will put you in a box. I like to say this. You get in a place, I'm going to encourage some parents, some grandparents. It's a wild how you can be in such a bad place, and even the pigs and the slop will speak to you. What am I saying? You know? Let me say, grandparents, if you had trained up a child in the way they should go, when they grow old, they will not depart.
Right.
I want to stir up that hope that's still in you. Yeah. I want to encourage you. Just like me, I was in like my senior year. I think it was in August of 96. I'm in a Carlos Santana concert. Jamming out, you know, air guitar, everything, you know. Acting a fool. Oh, my goodness. But if in the world's eyes, it looked like I had the world by the tail. Had girls around, had the party, had the songs, had the everything going. In my senior year, whatever, you know. Puff, puff, pass. I know some people don't know what that means, but Charlotte does. I'm not pointing fingers. But what's wild, God had been dealing with me. Even in the slop, even in the pig pen, God can speak to you. I want to give everybody hope. Your kids are never too far away.
Thank you, Jesus.
They cannot escape. They cannot run. They cannot hide. Even in their darkness, it's as the daylight to God. And so, you know, we're having a good time, you know, for a season. It's always a short season. You have a good time.
Yeah.
Then you wake up the next morning. You know? But I'm sitting there. They're jamming out. What's the song, Dad? You got to change your evil ways?
Yes.
The song, you got me running and hiding all over town. This can't go on. I can't sing. You know that. Lord knows you got to change. Right there, the Lord started getting me. All that was around me. It seemed like I had the world by the tail. But right there, the Lord arrested me. And you know what's so wonderful? His conviction is never condemning. It's never the accuser of the brethren is always condemning. He tempts you to do evil, and he says, oh, you've done it now. You know, you're so unworthy. You cannot go to the Father. You cannot do this or that. So right there, I remember getting up and like, oh, God. Oh, leave me alone. But in his kindest way, gentlest way, he says, I have a better way. I have a better way. And that's exactly how the Holy Ghost will say. And I want to tell every grandparent, you put the word of God in them. I'm telling you right now, the incorruptible seed of the word of God cannot die.
Amen.
It cannot die. Amen. So if you put that word in them, and you think, man, I don't see how that word was maybe ever put in them. I didn't see them respond. I didn't see them do this. But the God watches over His Word to perform it. That's why we have to get the Word of God into our kids. Not just the craft or a drawing, but the Word of God. Because it's in there. It's pulling on them. And that's when at that point, it started pulling on me and saying, I want life. I want you have a better way. And I sure hoped He did, you know, because I was like, so at those times where I started reflecting, here in a second, He came to Himself. Amen. He came to Himself. He acknowledged, you are acting a fool. You are on the wrong path. I say months before that, I was in a Lynyrd Skynyrd concert. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I'm there, and it's something how God will begin to show you, if you go this way, if you stay on this path, it ain't going to be good. And in that concert that night, you know, Freebird, the last song, they're going bananas. We had some guys that were in their 50s and 60s. They were partying. This guy was air guitar, and, you know, and I just looked at him and think, is this what I have to look forward to? Come on. They're probably so drunk they didn't forget. They forgot the half of it, you know. But I was just looking at it, and God just started speaking to me in these little points. Right in the pig slop, right in the pig pen, He's going to speak to your kids. So do not let go. Do not let go of the Word of God that you put in them. That's in them. That is in them. It's not going to die. So it don't matter how far they go, God can use the donkey. He can use the Santana song. Says, Lord knows you got to change, but He can speak. I want to encourage you with that. Amen? All right, verse 17. Oh, man. But when He came to Himself, this is just a beautiful thing. You know, He came to Himself. I love this. How can I say that about the Word of God that's in Him? It says, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough in his house? What is that? That's the Word of God. Amen. I know there's bread in the Father's house. Amen. I know He's still, I think I'm a slave. I think I'm not going to be so unworthy. I'm going to be so unworthy, but He's saying there's still bread in the Father's house.
Yeah. Amen.
So I just believe as your kids lay their head on their bed, they can still say there's bread, there's life. The bread of life is still in the Father's house. And they will come to themselves. They will come to themselves. How many of my father hired servants have bread enough? And to spare, I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy. There it is. Just like I felt, just like many others have felt, just like if you have a religious backing that I can't, how can I get to God? I have to have someone between us. I got to have a mediator. I got to have somebody else, you know, or I got to be so holy for so long or this or that. No, just like us, He said, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Made me like one of your hired servants. He saw Himself like so many of us, never to be worthy again. But I love this. And He arose and came to His Father.
Amen.
I love that.
Yes.
There's two parts of that. Mm-hmm. He came to Himself. Mm-hmm. He came to the Father.
Yeah. Amen. That's good.
Amen. Acknowledging, being honest with yourself. You know, people say, well, I'm just an honest person. They think it's their card to be rude and try to put people in their place. But honesty is to be used on yourself. That's what honesty is about. Take the truth of the Word of God and say, hey, you're missing it. Hey, you're prideful. Hey, you're trying to justify everything you're doing. Hey, you're trying to blame this or that. You know, and so, no, I'm going to come to myself, and then I'm going to come to the Father.
So good.
But when He arose, it says, and He arose and came to His Father. This is true repentance. People will talk all day sometimes or think all day of coming to myself. Or maybe I can come to the Father, or maybe he would accept me back. Maybe. But it's when you, true repentance is when you get up and go. That is true repentance, is when you take action to what, not just thinking about it or maybe even talking about it, but you say, I am getting up and going to the Father. He arose and went to him. Hey, it's as simple as this. What's the scripture say? Draw near to me, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. I love this part. You see it right here. It's so awesome. He said, but when he was still a great way off, what did the boy? He just started making a step or two. I love it. He was a great way off. His father saw him and had compassion and ran. You're one step. He will do it 100 steps to you. And his steps aren't just walking. He's running towards you. He is looking for you. He's saying, come and rise, have true repentance, and come into my house.
Woo, glory.
I love this. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. He was looking for him. Mm-hmm. Yes. I love that. He's always looking for the lost. Amen. Always looking for the lost. He will never give up on you.
That's right.
But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had a compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. For that day and time, it was almost, you have shamed the family. I'm sure with the boys looking at him like, oh, what is he going to do? Is he going to clothesline me? Or is he going to tackle me? What is he going to do? Because in that day and time, you have shamed the family by doing something like this. Yeah. Taking your birthright and just wasting it. But as you can see, the boy just, But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight and am no longer worthy to be called your son. And how many of us had sure said the same thing? He saw himself never to be worthy again, but the Father didn't see him that way.
Amen.
I love this. He's saying that. He's pouring out his heart. I'm thinking, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be God your son, but the Father. But the Father.
Yes.
He will not listen to any of your excuses. He will not take any of your excuses. He will not even, I don't care what he's even saying. Look what the Father does. But the Father said to his servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and his sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it and let us eat and be merry. Let us celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to be merry. He was trying to say, I'm no longer, just make me, servants, come, bring him the robe, bring him the ring. At that one moment, he restored his sonship. Every bit of those things were saying, this is my son. That robe, you are my son. That ring, this is my authority that I'm giving my son. These shoes, the shoes weren't given to slaves. It was only the sons that had slaves, sons and daughters. So there's whole messages in the robe and then the ring and the shoes. But all of these were gifts. All of these were the gifts. Look, the Father keeps on giving and giving and giving when we don't deserve it. When we don't deserve it, but he keeps on giving. We all know the goodness of God brings us to repentance. Over and over, he keeps giving. He gives the robe, the ring, the shoes. And I like to say, it's what the sons and daughters wear.
Amen.
This robe of righteousness talked about in Isaiah. This ring that's given the authority name, the family name, the shoes to go out and do. Ephesians 2:8 is fitting for this. For by grace, by God, for by grace, you have been saved through faith.
Yes.
Your faith. And that not of yourselves, It is the gift of God. Amen. This is a free gift. When we completely don't deserve it, it is that free gift. And it says, it's not of works or performance, lest anyone should boast. You know, there's people that'll boast. We'll see it here in just a second. For by grace, grace is God's part, faith is your part.
Amen.
But it's all the gift of God. So you're simply saying, they're putting the robe on me. They're putting the ring on my hand. They're giving me shoes. I don't deserve any of this. But that's his free gift. The free gift of salvation. That's what he has given by his grace. Amen? Through faith. The Father keeps on giving and giving and giving. Now let's jump over to the elder brother. This story, who is he talking again to? Let's go back. He's talking to the Pharisees, the religious leaders, yes. The experts of the law. They were, you know, condemning these people, not seeing their loss, but just seeing their sin. I wouldn't even eat with them. I would never be like them. Verse 25, now his older son was in the field. He's working. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to them, your brother has come home because he has received him safe and sound. Your father has killed the fatted calf. They're having a good time. They're having an awesome time. But, verse 28, but he was angry and would not go in. Man. In one of the woes that Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, the hypocrites, he says, you stop others from entering in, and you don't even enter in. And so these religious leaders, they put up such a, you know, a law that they don't even, do, you know?
Yeah.
And so, verse 28, but he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to the father, lo, these many years. He had his own little speech, his own little excuse. I have been serving you. Oh, come on, listen to this part. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. As his nose ascends to the heavens, I have never disobeyed you. Come on. Come on, y'all. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time. That's a joke. And yet you never gave me, now he's a victim too. You never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours, not my brother, just like the religious folks, man. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots. We read the story of what happened. He did waste on riotous living. But the self-righteous will always try to add to another sin with accusations. What am I saying? The story didn't say he wasted on harlots. The religious, he came up with even lies to even, listen, you will never build yourself up by tearing others down.
That's
a simple truth, but you will never build yourself up. So he was tearing him down. What was he saying? What was he saying? He doesn't deserve it. Simple as that. He doesn't deserve it, but I do. Oh, I've worked for you these many years. Haven't disobeyed you once, you know. Listen, do any of us deserve it?
Amen.
Come on. Do any of us deserve it? But that's where mercy stepped in. Mercy stepped in. Stopping from happening to us what should happen to us, but mercy steps in.
Amen.
It says, paid for. Redemption says, I bought you back. I bought you out of that slavery of being lost and in dark. So this elder brother, he is missing it. And he's not going into the Father's house. Look at all my work. I've never disobeyed. Come on, really? Self-righteous is always self-promoting. You never build yourself up by tearing others down. It turns accusations into lies, adding to others' sins. Here's the truth. This shows that you can be in the Father's house, but never know the Father's heart. Look at the religious leaders, always about the Father's house, but did not know his heart. And Lord, so who wants to be like the Father? I want to be like the Father. I never want to be like the self-righteous older brother that will accuse and put down and say, you're not worthy. He doesn't deserve it. I never want to be like that. Never want to be like that. But who I do want to be like is the Father. I love this. The Father went out. He went out and met them where they were. He met the younger son out there on that road where he's like, what's going to happen? He went out to the offended, the self-righteous son that would not enter in. The Father went out. You know, and now as I was praying about this, the Lord said, some of you are going to have to go out of your way. You think, what did Paula Burt say last week? She visited her brother over and over in jail. It just takes one prayer. One prayer of repentance. True repentance and turning to the Father. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. And so, I want to be like the Father. He went to them. He went out to them. Man, what time is it? Oh, okay. I'm about, you know, close saying a preacher saying he closing doesn't really mean anything. Like I tell Luke, I said, one more cast when we're fishing. I said, that don't mean nothing. So I'm my first closing. Maybe. I love this. He pleaded with the elder son. And Jesus is saying, can you look past the tax collector, their sin? Can you look past their past? And can you look to that lost soul that is just in darkness? And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and he is found. So in all that, we see someone who saw himself so unworthy. And how many of us have seen ourselves that way for too long because of our past, because of our mistakes, you know, we're getting condemned by the devil, and the Holy Ghost is saying, no, I have another way. I have another way. So there's two things we must do. We didn't do ministry time after praise and worship because I just believe God's pulling on some hearts right now. You know what? And it's a wonderful thing for all of us to come to ourselves. And recognize, to acknowledge where I'm at. If I'm angry, if I'm mad, if I'm hurt, if I'm brokenhearted, if I've been offended, if I'm holding on to those words that were said to us. No, I'm not going to be a victim. No. Two things we have to do to wind this up. We must come to ourselves, and we must come to the Father. So, you know, this is the S building. There's no exact, like, altar area, but let's treat it like one. You know, I say let's go old school today. I think it's the Assemblies of God where they had the kneeling benches, the place where you come to the Father. So the call is, if you're like the Son that saw himself so unworthy, that is now wearing the robe, has the ring on, has wearing the shoes, and he said, I didn't deserve it. But he gave it to me anyway. He has made me worthy. So I'm asking two calls. One, if you feel like you're the younger son, it's time to have true repentance and say, you know what? I am coming to the Father. You know what? Look, all of us can be like the Son. We can justify our sins. We can say we're doing this. We can blame whoever we want to blame. The world is awash with blame. Amen. Just politics. Blame this or that. He could have blamed the Father. You know, the Father, if he was smart, he would have never gave me that money. You know? But how many times we rationalize and think, you know, I could justify myself in this. I can say this or that. Now, I'm going to be honest with myself and say exactly where I'm at, and I'm going to come to the Father. And the other boat is the elder son. You know? Hey, I've been there too. I've been that younger son. I've been that older son where I look more at the sin that I may detest than the person that is lost. And I'm not going to be that Pharisee, that person that tries to keep people out and won't even himself enter in. So we're also going to have a place for here for if you need prayer of agreement for healing, we're going to open up that time too. But I'm just saying, sometimes it's just the step of faith. That one little step, just like that younger son did. Saying, I am leaving this offense. I'm leaving this unforgiveness. Here's the deal. You can't hold up no excuse to it. We hold up excuses. This is why I can't serve you. This is why I can't do what you call me to do. This is why I can't obey you because of my past is too great. My mistakes are too much. I'm damaged goods. He won't hear of it. He won't hear of it. But this is old school. We're going to open up the altars. If the Lord leads me to pray for somebody, or if we have prayer for healing or something like that, I'll do that. But I just want to just reverence the Lord and say, you know what? I'm going to take a step to him. And if I have been that elder brother that has judged, that has condemned, that has added and is accused, say, well, you know what? I'm going to the Father too. And I'm going to go into his house. Amen? Here's the other one. The Lord reminded me. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes parents, grandparents, is saying, all right, Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm giving my kids to you. Yeah. Saying, I'm not going to try to hold on to them and control them. The Father wouldn't even do that. They have a free will. They're old enough. But you say, right now, I'm bringing my kiddos. They're in your hands. And wherever they're at, no matter how, if you hadn't talked to them in years, God can speak to them right in the middle of the slop. Amen? So, if we can, if y'all like to come up. All it takes is one. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We take that step of faith to come to you, to come to ourself, come to you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hey, this is where you come to that throne of grace to obtain mercy. Time of need. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This is old school where you come, you talk to the Father just like you're coming the first time. Amen. Thank you, Father. Say this with me. He has made me worthy.
He has made me worthy.
Say it like you know it.
Amen.
He has made me worthy.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
Look, we've got to, this is the point. Where'd my little paper go? This is the part where we see we didn't deserve it, but He made us.
Yes.
It was the gift that made us now worthy. You young people, old people, you'll never know your worth, your value, your purpose until you know that He has made you worthy.
Yes.
So at this point that we know we have been made worthy by Him, now we can come to that throne of grace fearlessly, unashamed, confidently, boldly, and Father.
Yes.
I love this little part in this song that hopefully one day we'll sing. It's called The Throne Room. The veil is torn, the doors fling wide. I see glory as I run inside.
Amen.
For what He's done for us to be able to even go there, we should be going there. Yes. It should be our highest privilege. So, as the days ahead, we're going to begin to walk as sons and daughters that have been made worthy. And what we're going to have? We're going to have that robe of righteousness. What does that robe do? What does love do? It covers a multitude of sins. We're going to begin to start to walk as a church in the authority that we have. That ring that He has so freely given to us. That authority that is given in His name. And there's so much for us to do. I believe God is putting us together to now walk in our sonship, who we are in Christ, what we can have in Christ, and what we can do in Christ. So that's where I just say, Charlotte, you're my daughter. Amen. Alan, you're my son. I look at Ryan, you're my son, and I'm well pleased. Why? How can I say that? Well pleased? Because faith pleases God.
Amen.
So all of you, I can look around and say, Beverly, daughter, their faith has made you whole.
Amen.
So it's such a free gift. Amen? And I can look over at James and say, big boy.
Yes.
You had to be here last week to know what it means. You're my boy. That's how He speaks to me. He speaks to you like how you are. He says,
yes, He does.
Ben, you're my boy. And I said, yes, I am. I'm staying right here with you.
Amen.
Amen. So I want y'all to go out, say it one more time. He has made me worthy. Amen.
Amen.
We bless y'all in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Be blessed. Amen.
Amen.